What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you, getting ready for these Week 7 previews. And as always, I like to say, man, let's please hope that we get these games played. There's only two games on the schedule this week, so it would really be great if we could have actually every game that's on the schedule that's scheduled to be played, especially Alabama A&M, man. I really hope that nothing happens in Jackson and they can play some football, because Alabama A&M really needs to get some games in. And if, you know, starting now, they have like three games left. So let's hope that they get them in, because right now they're looking like a team who may not ever play. And they're probably going to end up being our version of Ohio State, a team who is very good, that has a very good season, but don't play that many games. So let's hope that the Bulldogs can get this going and let's get some football. So just before we get started, as usual, I want to start this off by saying I want to give a rest in peace shout out to my mother-in-law, Patricia Sands. She passed away due to a battle with COVID. So I just wanted to get that little shout out and just let you guys know that I'm working with a heavy heart, but the game has to go on. I this is like one of my versions of therapy, so I wanted to go ahead and continue to bring you guys some swag content and do the swag talk thing, because that's one of the things that keeps me going. So just wanna drop that little line right there, and we're gonna hop on into this. Facebook.com/swagtalk, Twitter.com/swagtalk76, Instagram.com/swagtalk. And swagtalk76@gmail.com is the email address. And now we're on YouTube. You can search Swag Talk Show, and that'll pull up the page. So you can go ahead and subscribe to that page. Give my videos a thumbs up. Hit that notification bell, which will let you know anytime that I upload a video. And, you know, check out everything that I have. I'm going to most likely be dropping videos on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Thursday and Sunday for sure. Tuesdays will probably be, you know, if something is on my mind coming off of the weekend. So definitely Tuesday and Thursday. Also, Thursday and Sunday for sure. Just like Wednesday and Sunday for Swag Talk Podcast. So Sundays will be a busy day recapping games and whatever I talk about on the YouTube channel. So we're going to start this show off by talking about the players of the week for this past week. The offensive player of the week was Devon Benn from New Orleans, a running back for Southern. He ran for 75 yards on 18 carries against Jackson State. He was a part of the reason that Southern ran for 294 yards and 42 minutes and 49 seconds time of possession against Jackson State in a 34-14 victory. He had two touchdowns and a long touchdown run of 20 yards. He averaged 4.2 yards per carry. Jordan Lewis, also from Southern, defensive player of the week from Ocala, Florida. He had a very strong game in Southern's victory over Jackson State. He had four tackles, including 3.5 tackles for loss and two sacks. So he was also a big reason why Jackson State was only able to run for 66 total yards rushing, and limited the Jackson State offense to 1 of 8 on third down attempt. Specialist of the week, Tyrann Ralph, a wide receiver and punt returner from New Orleans. He had a career high 279 all-purpose yards in Pine Bluff's 24-17 victory at Valley. He caught four passes for 61 yards, returned four kickoffs for a career high 85 yards, a 21.2 yard average, and had a career high 142 yards on five punt returns with one touchdown. His career-long 77-yard punt return for a touchdown with a minute and 54 seconds was the game winner for Pine Bluff. Newcomer, Ryan Nettles, quarterback, Alabama State from Evergreen, Alabama. He finished 20 of 37 for 191 yards and one touchdown during Alabama State's non-conference game against South Carolina State. He finished with a long pass of 24 yards while targeting six different receivers. He finished the day with 44 yards rushing, which was a team high, on six carries with a longer 20 yards. So congratulations to those young men for winning Conference Player of the Week honors, and we're gonna be eager to see who wins this week's honors as we look at the games that are played. So the games on the schedule would have been Southern at Prairie View, but that game was postponed. Texas Southern gets a forfeit victory over Alcorn because Alcorn opted out. So Texas Southern gets their first victory in like 16 or 17 games. Valley is at Alabama State this Saturday, 2 o'clock kickoff in Montgomery. And Alabama A&M and Jackson State hook up in Jackson for Jackson State's homecoming, 2 o'clock kickoff on ESPN. So again, national broadcast for a Jackson State game. And we're going to hope that this game turns out to be a bit better than last time. No shade meant, but that's just the truth. We're going to start off with Alabama State and Valley hooking up. Like I said, Valley's coming into this game at 0-2. Their first game was at Jackson State. They lost 43-7. And then this Saturday, they lost to Pine Bluff at home 24-17. And now they hit the road to take on Alabama. Valley played a very good game, you know, in this game against Pine Bluff, and they really put themselves in position to win that game before they allowed a punt return for a touchdown to basically seal the game. They controlled the first few minutes of the first quarter of that game for sure. Pine Bluff really had some issues moving the ball on Valley because Valley's defense is aggressive. And if you don't wear them down or their own offense doesn't wear them down, they're going to give you some problems. And that's what they did for Pine Bluff for good stretches of that first half. And then, they fell behind, but they were able to fight back and get back in their game, which, you know, is a great mark for a team like Valley because usually when they get down, they it's hard for them to get back. But they're averaging 12 points per game on offense. They're allowing 33.5. They have 28 total first downs, 16 rushing, 8 passing, and 2 and 4 by penalty. The opponent's 37 first downs, 10 rushing, 25 passing, and 2 by penalty. Valley has run for 290 yards on 70 attempts, 4.1 yards per carry, 145 yards per game, 3 touchdowns. The opponent's 235 yards rushing on 68 carries. 3.5 yards per carry, 117.5 yards per game, and 2 touchdowns. So as you can see, even though they got beat really bad against Jackson, they didn't really give up a lot on the ground. And the same against Pine Bluff. I mean, they're only allowing 117 yards as a defense rushing. So they're pretty stout against the run game. Passing, Valley is 32 of 59, 228 yards, no touchdowns, 1 interception. 114 yards per game average. The opponents, 43 of 80, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 555 yards. That's 277.5 yards per game passing. So the opponents are able to get things through the air. So, you know, running is not that big of an issue because they're moving the ball really well through the air. And Valley's struggling mightily to pass the ball. Total offense, Valley, 518 yards. On 129 plays, 4 yards per play, 259 yards per game. The opponent's 790 yards on 148 plays, 5.3 yards per play, 395 yards per game. Valley's fumbled 8 times and lost 5. The opponents have fumbled 3 times and lost 2. Valley has 14 penalties for 101 yards. The opponent's 16 penalties for 158 yards. Valley is averaging 40.4 yards per punt. The opponent's 34.6. Third downs, Valley is 7 of 29 on the season for 24% and 4 of 8 on fourth down for 50%. The opponent's 13 of 33 for 39% and 1 for 5 on fourth down for 20%. 3 sacks for Valley, 10 for the opponents. Valley has 3 total touchdowns. The opponent's 9. Valley is 1 of 3 on field goals. The opponent's 2 for 2. Valley is 2 of 4 in the red zone. Both of those scores are touchdowns. The opponents are 7 of 9 in the red zone. 5 of those 7 are touchdowns. They're led in rushing by Darius Williams. He has 15 carries for 123 yards, 8.2 yards per carry, 61.5 yards per game. Caleb Johnson, 20 carries, 113 yards, 5.7 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns, 5.6 yards 56.5 yards per game. Jelani Eason, 31 carries, 44 yards, 1.4 yards per carry, one touchdown, 22 yards per game. Eason is the leading passer. He's 31 of 58, 221 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, completing 53% of his passes, 110 yards per game. Receiving, Malik Myers, 5 catches, 63 yards, 12.6 yards per catch, 31.5 yards per game. Jarius Clayton, 8 catches, 52 yards, 6.5 yards per catch, 26 yards per game. Donald Johnson, 3 catches, 30 yards, 10 yards per catch, 15 yards per game. Ja'Cory Rankin, 3 catches, 24 yards, 8 yards per catch, 12 yards per game. Darius Williams, 5 catches, 23 yards, 4.6 yards per catch, 11.5 yards per game. And as I said before, Valley has no touchdown passes on the season at all. Keontae Daniels leads the team with 17 tackles. William Morgan, 14. Deion Reed, 9. Eric Powell, 8. Von Miesmoyer and Jalen Bell each has 7. Kyrie Lockley and Jerry Garner with 6. DeMario Nichols, 5. Kenneth Martin, Isaiah Latham, Jaron Fox, Devon Reed, Frederick McGee each have 4 tackles. Caleb Brunson, Caleb Alexander, Williams, Romalis Carey, Antoine Howard each have 3 tackles. Tackle for loss, Bell, Lockley, and Garner each have 3. Reed, 1.5. Daniels, 1. Latham, 1. And Powell, 0.5 a tackle for loss. Sacks, Garner, 2. And Lockley, 1. Interceptions, Latham and Brunson each have 1. So, like I said, this Valley team is a team that, you know, they can be dangerous, but they're really dangerous at home. You know, for whatever reason, they play a little bit tougher at home. It doesn't really always translate on the road, but their defense, if the offense can give them any kind of a rest, the defense is pretty solid. You know, I mean, for a team that hasn't really won very many games, their defense is actually pretty solid, but they, you know, they're prone to getting beat through the air. So a good passing attack is definitely going to get them some problems. But if you try to line up and run at them right now, they're doing very well with that. But offensively, it's going to be the issue, and that's going to really be the issue in this game. They're facing the Alabama State team, who really had a very disappointing game on Saturday. Not so much the end result that they lost, but more of how they lost. They didn't really have much energy in this game. They turned the ball over a good bit. They only scored 7 points at home, and that touchdown didn't come until the fourth quarter, and then they immediately gave up a touchdown to a team who couldn't move the football themselves to win this game. So Alabama State comes into this game at 2-2 overall, 2-1 in conference. They opened up their season with a 24-21 loss to Southern. They had a forfeit victory over Alcorn. They beat Jackson State 35-28. They had a game canceled, no contest for weather, against Pine Bluff. And then this Saturday, they lost to South Carolina State 14-7. They're coming into this game offensively. They're averaging 21 points per game. They're allowing 22. They have 22 rushing first downs, 32 passing, 6 by penalty. Good for 60 total first downs. The opponent's 25 first downs rushing, 18 passing, 7 by penalty. That's 50 first downs total. Alabama State has run for 431 yards on 108 carries. That's 4 yards per carry, 143.7 yards per game, and 4 touchdowns. 440 yards rushing for the opponents on 117 carries, 3.8 yards per carry, 146.7 yards per game, and 4 touchdowns. The Hornets are 63 of 110 passing, 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 597 yards, and 199 yards per game. The opponents, 37 of 90, 3 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 406 yards, 135.3 yards per game. Total offense, Alabama State, 1,028 yards on 218 plays, 4.7 yards per play, 342 yards per game, 9 total touchdowns, 846 yards for the opponents on 207 plays, 4.1 yards per play, 282 yards per game, 8 total touchdowns. Alabama State is averaging 42.7 yards per punt. The opponent's 38.4. Alabama State has 15 of 45 on third down for 33%, 5 of 6 on fourth down for 83%. Opponent's 13 of 46 on third down for 28%. So the defense is doing a tremendous job of getting stops and getting off the field, but the offense isn't doing that great a job of staying on the field. 1 for 4 on fourth downs for the opponents for 25%. Alabama State has fumbled 5 times and lost 4. The opponents 7 fumbles and lost 3. Hornets 8 sacks. The opponents 8 sacks. 5 of 8 in the red zone for Alabama State. All 5 are touchdowns. 8 of 11 in the red zone for the opponents. 6 of those 8 are touchdowns. Ezra Gray leads the team in rushing with 54 carries, 304 yards, 5.6 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns, 101 yards per game. Ja'Cory Merritt, 26 carries, 97 yards, 3.7 yards per rush, 1 touchdown, 32.3 yards per game. Ryan Nettles, 26 carries, 38 yards, 1.5 yards per carry, 12.6 yards per game. Nettles, 63 of 106 passing, 5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 59.4% completion percentage, 597 yards, 199 yards per game. Michael Jefferson, 18 catches, 184 yards, 10.2 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, 61.3 yards per game. Jeremiah Hickson, 8 catches, 141 yards, 17.6 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, 47 yards per game. Jahad Booker, 11 catches, 137 yards, 12.4 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, 45.6 yards per game. Terrence Ellis, 7 catches, 50 yards, 7.4 yards per catch, 16.6 yards per game. Abdul Diop, 5 catches, 32 yards, 6.4 yards per catch, and 16 yards per game. Defensively, Ershad Davis leads the team with 24 tackles, Colton Adams, 18, James Burgess, 13, Rodney Echols, 13, Austin Brunridge, 12, Ron Prasad, 12, Foote and Webster with 8, Adesifi, Culpepper, Ogletree, and Tarver with 7, Harper and Terry with 6, Clark, Scott, Troutman, each have 5, Gaddy, Howard, King, each have 4, tackles for loss, Ogletree and Terry with 3, Ron Prasad, 2.5, Webster, 2.5, Howard and King with 2, Davis, Adams, Brunridge, and Clark with 1.5 tackles for loss, Adesipi, Harper, Pope, and West each have 1 tackle for loss, Foote, Tarver, Scott, and Gaddy each have 1/2 a tackle for loss. Sacks, Ogletree with 2, Ron Prasad, Webster, Howard, King, Adesipi each have 1 sack apiece. Interceptions, Harper, Scott, Troutman, and Phelps each have 1 interception apiece. And Alabama State is a team that's really driven by their defense. That defensive front is very stout. It's hard to run on them. They have some big bodies in the middle that can't be moved. So if you're going to run against them, you have to run outside. They have talent at linebacker and in the secondary, but they don't have tremendous speed. They're more susceptible to being run on the outside. If you try to line up and run in the middle, Christian Clark is going to just swallow that up. And he's a big body that you just can't really push around. And they rally to the ball very well. They tackle well. They're not going to miss very many tackles. They're very sound on defense. And offensively, they have some explosive properties. I mean, Ezra Gray is a tremendous guy, you know, a burner. If he gets outside, he can be gone. Michael Jefferson's a nice big body wide receiver. He's had some drops this year that he didn't really have that much last year, but they still are adjusting to a new quarterback. And Ryan Nettles is giving you exactly what you expect from a redshirt freshman quarterback. He's good and bad. The good is very good. The bad is pretty bad. You know, he can, you know, still lock on a receiver and stare him down. Sometimes he holds the ball a bit too long. He can be off on his passes, you know, if he's not in rhythm. But when he's good, and he's, you know, he can run. He's not a great runner, but he can, you know, escape and evade with his legs and pick up some positive yardage. So the key to this team winning is winning any game really is being consistent on offense. There's no, you know, honestly, there's no way that you should have a back like Ezra Gray run for, you know, not lead your team in rushing in the last game, and your leading rusher was your quarterback with 44 yards. That, you know, that cannot happen in any game if you're going to win. So they have to commit to the run. And, that's, you know, they're going to have to wear Valley down because Valley's going to be really aggressive early. But Valley, I think, is going to struggle to move the ball in this game. So Alabama State should be in good position to win this game if they play a game that they're capable of playing, like an average game for them. I think they'll win this game. I'm going to say like 30-13. Valley's going to keep it close early, but they're just going to wear it down because they just don't have the depth. The consistency of offense to get a defense any kind of a breather. Valley finishes their season on April 17th at Texas Southern, and they're home on April 24th against Alabama A&M. And Alabama State has one game after this one, and that's against Alabama A&M in the Magic City Classic on April 17th. So that's a 6:30 kickoff, and that's a big game for both teams. And honestly, it could be a division deciding game if this next game turns out the way that I think it will. And that next game is Alabama State heads to Jackson to take on the Blue Bengals of Jackson State. Although right now, I guess they're the Red Bengals because they wear more red than blue. But this is a very intriguing game. And there's a bit of news ahead of this game that I don't know if it's got out to everybody, but Jackson State, and I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there now because it's going to probably factor into my prediction a bit. Jackson State will be starting Quasi at quarterback on Saturday. They're not starting Jalen Jones. I don't know if you know, some people say he's banged up. It's really hard to tell. He moved fairly well against Southern. Didn't play well, but he made some plays at times. But I don't know if he's banged up or if they just want to go in a different direction at this point in the season, which honestly I think is, you know, kind of dicey to do that right now. I mean, you know, you only have a couple games left and you're in your stretch run. So, you know, if you was going to make a change, I think you probably should have made it against Southern because that's a non-conference game and you didn't really have much to lose. But, you know, they're going to make that change right now and they're going to, you know, roll the dice and see what happens. I think this is going to affect them because, you know, Casey is not the runner that Jalen Jones was. And with Jackson State's offensive line being what it is, I think you needed a quarterback that can be agile and get out of the pocket because he's going to be running more often than not. And the running game is not good right now either. And I know the running back Tyson Alexander left the Southern game with an injury. I don't know the extent of his injury. So until I hear that, you know, that really is another thing that kind of put some doubt into this game. Alabama A&M has only played one game. They defeated South Carolina State 31-7, and it was a game where they looked very good. They did throw three interceptions, so you know, without those three interceptions, this game probably could have been even worse. They were 272 yards passing, 168 rushing. They allowed 165 yards to South Carolina State and 132 through the air. Alabama A&M had averaged 6.3 yards per play total offense, 5.1 allowed for the Bulldogs of South Carolina State. Alabama A&M was 4 of 11 on third down, and they allowed 2 of 12 on third down conversions. They had no sacks on the game, but they were 4 for 4 in the red zone, and South Carolina State was 0 for 2. So this is the first game Alabama A&M has played since the beginning of the season on March 6th, I think it was. So they have been off over a month, and that's gonna be something that I'm really interested in seeing what happens. It's not a lot to say about them right now because they haven't played. You know, they just you know, every week they've been ready to play, and the team that they're playing has had some COVID issues, and they haven't played, so not much really to say about them yet because there's not much on them. Jackson, on the other hand, this is their sixth game of the season. They're 3-2, 2-1 in conference. They opened up against Elwood Waters with a 53-0 victory. They beat Grambling 33-28. They beat Valley 43-7, and they lost to Alabama State 35-28, and Southern beat them 34-14. So they're on a bit of a slide, and you know, some people are pushing the panic button, but I don't really think you should do that yet. Now, with the move to Casey, you know, that's a little iffy to me. Let's go over some of the Jackson stats first. They're averaging 34.2 points per game. They're allowing 20. They have 49 first downs, rushing 51 passing, 9 by penalty, 109 total. The opponent's 50 first downs, rushing 43 passing, 6 by penalty, 99 total. Jackson State have run for 865 yards on 188 carries, 4.6 yards per carry, 173 yards per game, 10 touchdowns. 852 yards rushing for the opponents on 201 carries, 4.2 yards per carry, 107.4 yards per game, 10 touchdowns. Jackson State is 92 of 166 passing, 12 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 1,158 yards, 231.6 yards per game. The opponents 94 of 161, 884 yards, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 176.8 yards per game. Total offense, Jackson State, 2,023 yards on 354 plays, 5.7 yards per play, 404 yards per game, 23 total touchdowns. The opponents, 1,736 yards on 362 plays, 4.8 yards per play, 347 yards per game, 14 total touchdowns. Jackson State is averaging 34.4 yards per punt. The opponent's 37.3. Third downs, Jackson State is 27 of 67 for 40%, 2 of 6 on fourth down for 33%. The opponent's 29 of 74 for 39%, 5 of 10 on fourth down for 50%. Jackson State has fumbled 13 times and lost 3. The opponents have fumbled 9 times and lost 6. Jackson State has 14 sacks. The opponents have 10. Jackson State is 21 of 25 in the red zone. 16 of those are touchdowns. The opponents 12 of 16 in the red zone. 11 of those are touchdowns. Tyson Alexander is the leading rusher. 62 carries, 377 yards, 6.1 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, 75.4 yards per game. Jalen Jones, 63 carries, 248 yards, 3.9 yards per carry, 5 touchdowns, 49.6 yards per carry. Kimani Clark, 45 carries, 189 yards, 4.2 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns, 37.8 yards per carry, 37.8 yards per game. Greg Williams, 12 carries, 56 yards, 4.7 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, 14 yards per game. Passing, Jones, 79 of 143, 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 55% completion, 1,016 yards, 203 yards per game. Quincy Casey, 13 of 21, 142 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 no interceptions, 61% completion, 47.3 yards per game. And he will be your starter on Saturday, so we got to really keep an eye on how he does. Receiving, Daylon Baldwin, 21 catches, 405 yards, 19.2 yards per catch, 6 touchdowns, 81 yards per game. Corey Reed, 21 catches, 282 yards, 13.4 yards per catch, 3 touchdowns, 56.4 yards per game. Warren Newman, 26 catches, 220 yards, 8.4 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, 44 yards per game. Kylan Ritchie, 8 catches, 117 yards, 14.6 yards per catch, 23.4 yards per game. And Christian Allen, 7 catches, 85 yards, 1 touchdown, 12.1 yard per catch, 21.2 yards per game. Defensively, Keontae Hampton, 48 tackles. Aubrey Miller, 44. Barnett, 21. Arrington, 20. Adams, 19. Lumpkin, 18. Pillow Smiley, 17. Warren, 17. Crane, 16. Gladney and Shaw, 15. Holmes, 12. Dunn and Reagan with 11. Berthley and McIntosh with 10 apiece. Paul, 8. Carter, 6. And Lyles with 5. Tackles for loss. Miller, 4.5. Pillow Smiley, 4. Crane, 4. Dunn, 3. Hampton, 2.5. Barnett, 2.5. Arrington, 1.5. Holmes, 1.5. Reagan, 1.5. Lyles, 1.5. Clark, 1.5. Warren, Gladney, Mitchell, and Lopez with 1. McIntosh and Paul each have a half a tackle for loss apiece. Pillow Smiley, 2.5 sacks. Crane, 2. Dunn, 2. Miller, 1.5. Clark, 1.5. Arrington, Mitchell, and Lopez with 1. Reagan and Lyles and McIntosh each have a half a sack apiece. Interceptions, Arrington, Hampton, Holmes, Warren, and Lockhart each have an interception. And so this, you know, this is a big game for both teams. It's a divisional matchup. You know, Alabama A&M is sitting at 1-0 in the division, even though they haven't played a game in SWAC, but they had all come forfeit. Jackson State needs to win this game to stay in the race. If Alabama, you know, Alabama A&M needs to win, but they still have 2 divisional games left. So this is a huge game, you know, and it's one team who hasn't played in a month, another team who's kind of on a slide, and they're looking for answers. And, you know, this quarterback change for Jackson is something that really is something to keep your eyes on. I don't know how long, you know, if this is like a, you know, we're just going to sit you to start the game and then let you see how the game plays and then we bring you in later. Or if this is like, I don't want to call it a benching, but if this is a, you know, we're going to go with this guy and we're going to let him play and see how he do. And that's that, you know, so I don't know if they're going to, you know, if this move is meant to, you know, get Jalen's mind right, so to speak, or if this is a move that's, you know, we moving on to the next guy because we want to try to turn this thing around. So I just feel like the way you've been running the ball the last couple of weeks and, you know, the way your line's been blocking and your coach even said that y'all haven't blocked anybody in weeks, I wouldn't necessarily go against a guy who can move the ball with his legs. Jalen Jones was a huge reason why that Alabama State game was even close, because for the most part in the second half of that game, they ran him relentlessly. And they didn't necessarily do that against Southern. Now, I'm not saying that they didn't have so many design runs for him. He ran a lot, but it was more trying to escape pressure and taking off. They didn't really run the offense the way that they did in Alabama State game. And it didn't do anything really to take advantage of the size of their receivers. You know, a lot of quick passes inside that they can body the defense's backside of the way. They didn't really do a lot of that. Southern did do a good job of hitting the receivers when they did make catches, and they dropped a couple catchable balls. But I think you're really putting your passing game as the focus of the game this week, because you haven't really committed to running. And if you're going with a quarterback who is not the runner out of the two, then you kind of, you know, showing your hand. Now, defensively, Jackson is facing an Alabama A&M team who hasn't really ran the ball much. They, you know, the last few years they had Jordan Bentley, who was a tremendous back. He could carry the load for them. They don't have that guy. Last year he got almost every carry on the team, which is something that you don't really see, especially nowadays, you don't really see a back get as many carries as he got compared to everybody else. And that was just, you know, that was just something that was really unheard of, you know, for him to be the guy who carried the ball probably more than 3/4 of the time. He had last year, Jordan Bentley had 272 carries. The second guy was Gary Quarles, who is the leading rusher this year. Bentley had 272 on carries, and Quarles had 67. And then the next highest guy was 8. So they really, you know, only looked at one guy. So this year they're doing more of a by committee approach. And, you know, if they're able to run the ball any bit against Jackson, then that's going to make them even more dangerous, because Glass has his guys, Ibrahim, Zabrian Moore, and Brian Jenkins Jr., who missed a lot of time last year with injury. So they, you know, they have weapons. Kendrick Johnson's tight end, a guy who's gonna be able to make plays. Odu Hilaire is another receiver that's gonna make plays. You know, they have guys. They're loaded, and they're gonna throw the ball around. Glass is a big body. He's hard to bring down. He is susceptible to interceptions at times. So Jackson's secondary, you know, they have some ball hawks back there that can help. You know, if they can force some turnovers, that can help kind of settle this game down. But I think Jackson's gonna fall behind in this game, because I just don't have any confidence in that offense right now, and especially with a change. You know, this is one of the first big decisions that Deion Sanders has made as a coach. This is going to be a telling thing for him as a coach, you know, how he handles his quarterback situation. You know, is he going to, you know, flip-flop guys? Or is he going to just let Casey, you know, go the whole way regardless of how he plays? Now, if he steps up and balls out, then, hey, that was a good move. If he struggles, then, you know, people are going to look and, you know, be like, you should have just stuck with the guy who can move the ball with his legs at the least. But this is going to be interesting. I'm going to go Alabama A&M. 34-20. I just don't think Jackson is there right now. I think they're at their ceiling right now in the season, and they kind of just clinging to the side of the pool, so to speak, trying not to, you know, drown. So I think Alabama and them will pull out this victory. I think it's gonna be ugly early, because they haven't played in a long time, and I think they're gonna have some rust to work out. But I just don't see Jackson's offense being able to put the pressure on them to make them pay for that kind of rust that they have. So that's going to do it for today's show. We'll be back on Sunday to recap the action. Check out the YouTube page tomorrow. We're going to have a little preview of our game of the week, which is Alabama A&M and Jackson. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. And then Sunday, we're going to recap the games. And on the YouTube, I'm going to talk a bit more about the game of the week. So we'll see you guys on Thursday on YouTube and Sunday here on the podcast. Everybody have a good rest of your week. And if you're going to a game, as usual, be safe and enjoy yourself. And we'll see you guys later. We're out.